Hey everybody, it's my birthday, woo! All right, so in the last ham radio, I was in New York, and now I'm back in Canada. And I don't know, I guess like I decided I should really blab about that some. I shouldn't just, jump back into doing shows in Canada with no comment, since I very much feel like I may never be back in the crazy shores of America again. But then it ended up just just being uncomfortable, and like I guess the whole thing is while I was in, I'm walking around my apartment, if the sound gets weird, it's a while I was in New York, just the candidness of being on a podcast, like I just, especially a big one like that, is just it is uncomfortable. It went off the rails. It got bad. I got all drunk, and it was really horrible. And I really just think, like, I mean, today is my 33rd birthday. Like, I'm grown up now. I think I'm, it's enough with all that. I think I'm more ready to pursue a normal-ish life, or a life behind the scenes. Like, I don't need to be fucking just blabbing all my fucking crazy shit to people. It's uncomfortable. And then explaining about it is also uncomfortable. I mean, I just feel like I got bitten a little bit by candidness. And like, you know, maybe it's time to pull back a little bit and just let my life be my life. But then the explanation of that kind of falls in the same territory. Like, I'm just, I don't know, it's uncomfortable. So I figured I should just write a little, or record a little preamble. Where also, I mean, I don't know, it's hard even just to be, I don't know, just to talk about your life. Because then it's just so easy to, I mean, it's like, it was really embarrassing, these podcasts from New York, and just, you know, just plain old talking about your life or expressing yourself is not just, it's not just automatically good. It's fucking, even this, like, Jesus, all this just sucks. Holy fuck. I was gonna try to just make a little, like, hey, I know this episode's weird, but I don't really feel that way today. But even just trying to explain that is weird. It's just awful. Holy fuck. I should just, whatever, just put it out and then just be done with it. Stop trying to over-explain everything. But it's like, just the very act of recording yourself makes you come off different. And you know, it's like, then you take how you feel that one specific day and it becomes who you are now. It's like, like these podcasts from the States where I was just really drunk and belligerent and being a real fucking dickhead. Like, I guess I was that day, but, and then you get people that just act like that's you, and just, it's horrible. It's just, ugh. But on the other hand, I mean, I like when people are honest about themselves, and like, there's gotta be some reason why people listen to this. Like, it's gotta be of some use. But I don't know, I guess it's just like also the futility of trying to explain. I mean, like, these podcasts from New York were so, like, frankly, like, traumatizing. Like, I just was, like, crying every day for, like, 2 weeks. Just the most terrible thing. Just awful. Of just having an embarrassingly bad day and getting it recorded and then just but no one getting it either, you know? Like, it's just how everyone back here in Toronto is listening to them and spreading them around, and I'm just like a little, and we talked about it a bit on my other show, Vinyl Countdown, and my friend Joel, who's like the most nice, understanding, caring dude you could ever meet. But he sent an email and he's like, hey, in case people didn't hear these fucking New York shows, maybe you should put in some clips. And I was just shocked that it's like, that he didn't get how ashamed I was of them and how much I don't want to ever have them ever around again. Just like, ugh. There was only one girl, this girl Sparrow from the south, from down south, who didn't listen to them because she got the sense that I was embarrassed by them. And it's like she was like the only one who had this sort of emotional intelligence enough to pick up on that. And the people in New York just not at all, not even any understanding of why. So I mean, it wasn't just these podcasts too. It's this whole sort of realization that we're just different people, you know. That chapter is closing. I don't know what the fuck. But I guess also it's interesting in a way. I mean, just how people really just don't really care about you. I mean, like, just like I don't really care about people, and maybe they can't. Like, it's not like a criticism, it's just how it is. I mean, I think of like how my brother had all these problems in his life, and how much did I really care? You know, how much did anybody really care? I was reading about Ernest Hemingway, and he had all these sort of degenerative problems with his body couldn't metabolize iron, and it makes you go crazy. Basically, his father committed suicide, his brother and sister, if I remember right, both committed suicide, and so did he. And when you read through the story, it's like, I mean, I guess they did some stuff. They sort of tossed him in a sanitarium once in a while, and he ended up getting electroshock and things. But in the end of the day, probably no one could help him, but they didn't, really. I mean, but how can you? You can't control someone else's life. I guess what I'm trying to say is, what is the point, kind of? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You can express yourself, and people aren't going to understand anyway. And then if they do, they can't really do anything about it. It's like, what is the point of all of this, you know? Maybe the point is just to, you know... I just wanted to get this show, as I mentioned later in this episode, out of the way just so I could do an episode about KMFDM, you know, just songs that I like. I guess this show's always like those two sides where sometimes it's about my thoughts, sometimes it's just about music. I don't know, maybe it'll lean more back to just toward music, but at the very least, I guess, like, I would like the sides that are about even this, like, I just feel uncomfortable. I don't feel comfortable anymore doing this. I feel like this is disingenuous. This isn't... What is this? What is this? The way that I'm talking, you know? Like, you can't even just talk like yourself because you're being recorded. It's impossible. There's just no way out of this straitjacket. I've been doing this shit for, like, 5 years. And I don't think it's going to change any. I think I've kind of felt out the edges of how far autobiographical solo podcasting is really going to go. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'll just keep doing these once in a while, but I don't feel very comfortable about it right now. Yeah, anyway, when I do shows about just whatever's on my mind, I would prefer them in future. I'm going to try a little bit to sort of make them be just a little more positive and not just rambling and complaining. So does this fall into that, you know? I mean, I guess at least it's not angry. I guess that'll have to do, you know? It's not a very happy-go-lucky episode, but I mean, at least it's not just being mad, being pointlessly mad, because that's just... There's almost never a real reason for that. It's just covering up something else. I'm amazed by people that... when they're tired, I mean, I'm tired a lot because I don't sleep very well. Hard time sleeping. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld was talking about how when she got overtired when they worked really long days, she just laughed all the time, couldn't stop laughing. And I've heard that about other people before. How crazy is that? That you're tired and kind of at your wit's end, so you laugh about stuff. That sounds like fucking magic. Because it's the exact opposite for me. It's like these flashes of just anger. Just like, I want to take an axe and chop down whatever the fuck is around me. These little, like, flashes that I just have to weather, you know? to laugh because you're overtired. Goodness, that's a fucking treat. That would be delightful. Anyway. So great, I managed to, like, oh, here's an awkward show. Let's smooth it out with a nice intro. And I just did a fucking weird, awkward intro. But that's it. It's all done with this. I'm just going to do my stupid KMFDM show after this. Fuck it. All right, thank you for listening. Here's a song. Before we get into whatever I recorded the other day. Okay, this is still not the real show. This is the next day. I'm going to record one more little thing because I was just out bicycling around in Toronto. It's like this weird checkerboard of, like, you get these runs that are really cool and nice streets and a little bike lane and everything's awesome, but there's no consistency. You end up just making your way into these horrifying nightmare streets where it's just traffic everywhere and you're like, what the fuck, man? I'm gonna die here. Just fucking gigantic trucks barreling past you, inches away. I wish it was just like, I keep trying to find that golden route and it's just, there's no such thing around here. But yeah, I was thinking that I think a good way to sum up just how I was feeling while I was biking around and how I don't feel when I'm in New York is that, or like, this morning I got up, I went to a Tim Hortons, I just got a haircut the other day, buzzed my hair off, and I get a lot more positive attention now that I don't look like a no-good, dirty hippie bum. But yeah, just like got eyes from some chick, and I didn't have the fucking wherewithal to actually start a conversation, but it's a good feeling, right? And then I bike around, and I'm doing stuff, and it's that when I'm just in normal life, I am a generally jovial, capable person that, you know, can run my own life and can do stuff and is valuable and useful and, you know, self, like I trust myself to be able to go out into the world and to do things and to be a generally valuable dude. Feel good about myself. Whereas when I'm on Keith and the Girl, I'm just a lunatic. I'm just a raving crazy person. And it's just, for whatever reason, like I guess that previous intro and then the next one that's coming after this, it's all trying to sort out why that is, but it doesn't matter why that is. It's not going to be solved and it's not going to change. And yeah, it's like I think now that I'm in my 30s, I don't want to be a lunatic anymore. You know, I want to just be a normal dude. I want to feel confident and capable in myself. And I don't feel that way when I'm there. There, that's a little better. I feel better about that. And that this next part coming up, I mean, it's genuine, you know, like, I think that's interesting and kind of important and neat to capture a little moment in time and in someone's life, how they're feeling. But I mean, it's embarrassing also. It's just weird. It's just weird. It's like, I'm really having a tough time expressing myself and explaining things. So I'm listening to a Go-Go's song to like give myself some fucking chutzpah to get through this shit, to fucking power me through. That's just silly. Like, that's silly and weird. And it's not even a well-known Go-Go song. It's some fucking song from 1994. It's just, like, it's a bizarre little moment. So, you know, I guess that's what I want to say, is that I recognize the bizarreness of it and the weirdness and the silliness of it. And at the same time, you know, it is trying to be a genuine expression of some thoughts that, you know, it can be both things. That's why I like shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer is so good. You really can get into the serious moments because there's funny shit too. That's where it kind of went wrong for me. Right? The last, like, season 6 is just not funny anymore. It was like all serious. And then it was a drag. Whereas when it was more lighthearted, serious shit would happen. And I was like, whoa, like, that's crazy. I fucking am into it. I feel it. So anyway, also at the very end of the show, I just flat out play 3 Fiona Apple songs in a row. I'm just like, oh, let's just finish the show. Here's 3 songs. It's too many. So I'll play one of them now to get it out of the way. This is Every Single Night by Fiona Apple. So then at the end of the show, when I say I'm going to play 3 in a row, which is a little much to sit through, it's just 2. So, you know, it's easier to listen to. All right. Here's Fiona and then the real show for real this time. Really.
Every single night, I endure the flight of little wings of white flame, butterflies in my brain. These ideas of mine percolate the mind, trickle down the spine, swarm the belly, swelling to a blaze. That's where the pain comes in, like a second sky. Trying to fit beneath the skin, I can't fit the feelings in. No, oh, every single night's a light with my breath. What'd I say to her? What'd I say to her? What does she think of me? That I'm not what I ought to be. That I'm what I try not to be. It's got to be somebody else's fault. I can't get caught if what I am is what I am, cause I does what I does. Then brother get back, cause my breath's gonna bust open. The rib is the shell and the heart is a yolk, and I just made a meal for us both to choke on. Every single night's a fight with my breath. My heart's made of parts of all that's around me, and that's why the devil just can't get around me. Every single night's alright, every single night's a fight, and every single fight's alright with my rage. Everything.
Alright, I'm just sitting around wondering what to do with myself, so let's do a ham radio. So I'm back in Canada. I think that might do it for me going to America, at least for the foreseeable future. I talked about it a bunch on a Vinyl Countdown episode, if you're curious. It's called Canadian History X, but man, That whole fucking world of just being on Keith and the Girl and being more visible and yada yada. I don't know, it's amazing. Just thinking about different... I don't even want to talk about it. It's just uncomfortable, but... couple little thoughts, like... it went so bad. Well, the last episode of Ham Radio I did is a good example. The first half of it was just miserable. I was just complaining. It's just lame. And then the second half was actually kind of cool. And I think that kind of sums it up, is like, I think I finally hit the fucking, my ship ran ashore or fucking hit some rocks or whatever. Just like, what's the point of all this complaining and this being in a bad mood and all this shit? I mean, it happens, but it doesn't, that's not what I need to be expressing and capturing, you know? Like with this show, man, there's just some weird complaining ones, and I think I gotta just hold off till I want to do a show or I have something useful to say. And, I guess it's just like temper problems, man. The count to 10 thing really does work if you just find yourself slipping into some weird mindset. Is just to, just count to 10. It's pretty hard to get all the way to 10 and to not think your way out of it. And it's easy for me because think your way out of it, go from there. Because I know that fundamentally it's not really the kind of person that I am. It's like my biology or my heredity or whatever leads me to get just have a bad temper. But I've had plenty of times in my life that, this sucks. Fuck off. okay, I'm gonna try this again just because I want to play this fucking Go-Go's song. In fact, I'm listening to it now while I talk. I notice when I listen to something while I talk, it's like, I guess like how deaf people sound weird because they can't hear themselves. Since I can't hear myself right, my voice sounds different. It's like more nasally. It's really hard to modulate to avoid that. But anyway. Yeah, so like I said, I talked about all this stuff in the Vinyl Countdown episode, Canadian History X, if you want to listen to that. But basically, I really lost my shit in New York, and it's just awful, 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 awful. It's like, I don't know, I got a lot of nice letters and stuff from people, but it's weird to get letters that are like, I know what it's like because I have mental illnesses myself, and, you know, it's disturbing to think of myself that way. Like, I don't know, I guess it's like how in stories and in fiction, any type of person gets sort of whipped up into a more fun thing than they really are. You know, you can be a lovable drunk, or people that hate each other fall in love, or fucking heroin addicts seem, you know, cool and desirable somehow. And it's like being crazy. Oh, that chick's crazy. She's so cute. Oh, look at that guy. He's fucking crazy. When you're actually faced with the fucking idea that you're going fucking crazy, it's not cool at all. There's nothing fun about that. And, man, I don't know. It's like being an alcoholic. It's like being, like, form follows function, even just in life, you know? Like, putting yourself in bad situations can lead to bad things that wouldn't otherwise happen. Like, being on Keith and the Girl and just having all these people listen, it's just bad. It's a fucking bullhorn to thousands and thousands of people. It's fucking bizarre. It's not how anybody was ever supposed to live. And I don't deal with it well at all. Not at all. It's just not a way that I think I should be anymore. It's not a thing that should be part of my life. Like, specifically, I think about, like, when I was a babysitter. And, I mean, that guy couldn't be further away from the way I am on their podcast, you know? Like, when it's just a normal life and the parameters of your life are just, your responsibilities are normal, everything's down to a normal level, then I'm patient, I'm responsible, I'm capable. And that's what I want to have, you know? Like, I can do little things like this. No one really listens to it, whatever. It's just some little therapy for myself, or a weird little show to do, just talk about music or whatever the fuck. Vinyl Countdown too. I mean, all of my stuff has about, I don't know, it's like a couple hundred people that give a shit, and XO's more, but it's still relatively small numbers, and that's fine. But just in front of everyone, just these huge crowds, it's just bad, man. It's like a drug. It's like, you know, I guess like the way my family's got addiction problems that go back to like my grandfather and probably before that. I just don't know anything about that. And then my parents, and then my brother, aunts and uncles, like it's just all over. And it's probably not that weird or unusual, but I don't know, it's enough to be noticeable. And I mean, I probably got that just in different ways, you know, like just, it's hard to pull away from the little spotlight, that little kick you get of like, hey everyone, pay attention to me, look at me, I'm on the stage now, you know, I'm fucking in the talent show of life, you know, I'm doing a little song and dance. But it's just, it's not healthy for me. So it's unfortunate because, you know, I can come up with reasons why specifically Keith and the Girl is just a difficult environment for me, but it's ultimately, I mean, it's not about them. It's disappointing and pretty depressing. Hold on, I gotta start this go-go song again. Yeah, it's depressing to think how I'm the one who really pulled this thing down. Like, I let things get to a point where I can't be around that anymore. And I mean, this type of thing has happened before, of just finding ways to deal with my temper or with bad sides of me that that all you can do is avoid them. All you can do is just avoid putting yourself in those situations. Like, I remember with video games, like, it was a huge breakthrough for me to get to a point where if I felt myself getting angry at a video game, I could just put my controller down and go away. But there was no fighting through it, you know? There's no working with the situation. There was no counting to 10 in that fucking instance. It was like, just go away. That's the only thing I can do. And it works. It's very effective. So I feel like I got to that point down south, down in the States as well, where I just don't want to be that guy. And as long as I'm not in that situation, I'm not that guy. So here we are, you know? So I don't plan to be back on Keith and the Girl, probably ever. I don't know. Maybe if they do like a marathon or something, but I don't know. I can't even see going back down to the States. Like, I always go down April for Keith's birthday, but my plan this year is to have a reason I can't go, you know? Have a job or something. Finally get some responsibility rolling around here so I can't just gallivant away. Because again, it's just, I mean, it's fun, but it's also just feeding into this impulse to just, hey, if I go down there, that's where everybody knows who I am and blah, blah, blah. It's just not, I don't know, I gotta build my own stupid life, man, you know? I gotta stop dancing in the talent show, you know? I gotta fucking get over it. So I feel pretty bad about it, but I mean, realistically, it's not even that different. I mean, I've been gone for ages. Since I moved back to Canada in 2009, I was hardly ever on Keith and the Girl. I mean, there was a 2 or 3 year stretch I was really never on at all, except marathons. I really had to go out of my way to go down last year. It was about a year ago. Because they had everyone on who was part of the Keith and the Girl roast. And then I was on again just because I was down there doing the documentary thing. That I do feel bad that I left partway through, but I just couldn't anymore, man. I just couldn't, like, I don't know. It was gonna feel bad for leaving Hemda in the lurch, but in the particular state of mind I was in, I mean, I don't know. It would have got bad. So I don't know. Some good came of it in a weird way. Of just, you know, bit of a wake-up call type of thing, I guess. I'm heading back home in a couple of weeks. Shit, that's coming up soon. See how that shakes out. Alright, so anyway, now that I got that out of the way, I want to play this Go-Go song called Beautiful that is from 1994. They did like a little Go-Go's reunion or something, and it's a real good song. I heard it in the opening credits of some movie. I don't know what it was. Yeah,
Yeah, and it's a good song. So this is Beautiful by the Go-Go's. Okay, so, see, that's something. I mean, like, for instance, it wasn't easy for me to say all that stuff I just said. It's probably no big deal, really, but I don't know, man. It's just fucking wasn't easy. And that's something, a reality about myself, is I'm really not a very particularly strong person. You know, I'm not a real tough guy, and that's where it was so weird how far down the path I got of just like, hey, let's just be a dick. Let's just complain and let's criticize everybody. And it's like, really? Why the fuck did I think I could get away with that? Or that was some kind of good idea to do? Like, what the fuck, man? But on the upside, you know, like hit the bottom of the pool and push back up is like, I know I've got all these, like, it's not hard for me to be the other way, you know, to be nice and considerate and
present in the moment, to pay attention to people and to give a shit and to just be nice. And it's like so many doors open in life when you're just because you're nice to people, you know. And it's like I can do that. And it's, I used to just take for granted that everyone can, but not everyone can. There's a lot of people that can't. Like, I do have a nice side of me that's a gigantic part of me that is, should not really be very hard to cultivate. And like, I guess I'm sure a lot of, you know, just being a dickhead about stuff is because you're scared about shit, you know. Like, it's just like those wires cross. But I don't know, I think the best way, the easiest way to just be not scared is to go into situations just being nice, you know. If you just are nice, a lot of doors open. There's a lot of places in the world you can go. It's not a lot of reason to be intimidated if you know you can keep up with whatever the situation is. And yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm even trying to say. I don't know. I mean, I think I knew. But anyway, that's what I was going to say is, like, now that I got this out, and how much sense it'll make, I don't know. But to me, maybe it will. Like, maybe listening back, like, I think that's part of the feedback loop of doing this little podcast is, like, I'll hear it back and it'll kind of, it's like hearing it from someone else. I mean, I'm the one who said it, but just hearing the outside words so they're not just floating around in your head will hopefully make it seem a little more concrete, and just subconsciously things will settle in my brain a little. But let's toughen this shit up a little bit. I was watching a bunch of music videos the other day, and there's this guy Tyler the Creator. He has this song Yonkers that came out last year. It's just another weird example of how the world has changed, where this thing has 46 million views and I never heard of it before, and it's a pretty cool video. I think it'd be worth checking out. Although I just did a new episode of Here's Some Fucking Videos, my little music video show. You can find it on keithcourage.com. I didn't put this video in, but maybe if I do another one, because it is pretty cool, and it's a tougher song. So let's toughen this shit up a little and listen to Yonkers by Tyler the Creator.
With a fucking triceratops, reptar, rapping as I'm mocking deaf rock stars, wearing synthetic wigs made of anwars, dreadlocks, bedrock, harder than a motherfucking Flintstone, making crack rocks out of pussy nigga fish bones. This nigga Jasper trying to get grown, about 5'7" of his bitches in my bedroom. Swallow the cinnamon, I'ma scribble this shit and shit while Sid is telling me that she's been getting intimate with men. Sid, shut the fuck up. Here's the number to my therapist, you tell him all your problems, he's fucking awesome with listening. Quit bitching, this isn't a fucking hotline for a fucking shrink. Sheesh, I already got mine and he's not fucking working. I think I'm wasting my damn time. I'm clocking 6:03 and going postal. This the revenge of the dicks. That's 9 cocks that cock 9. This ain't no VTech shit or Columbine. But after bowling, I went home for some damn adventure time. What you do? I slipped myself some pink zannies and danced around the house and all over print panties. My mom's gone, that fucking broad will never understand me. I'm not gay, I just wanna boogie to some Marvin.
What you think of Haley Williams?
Fuck her, Wolf Haley robbing him. I'll crash that fucking airplane at that faggot nigga Bob is in and stab Bruno Mars in his goddamn esophagus and won't stop until the cops come in. I'm an overachiever, so how about I start a team of leaders and pick up Stevie Wonder to be the wide receiver? Green paper, gold teeth, and pregnant gold retrievers, all I want. Fuck money, diamonds, and bitches don't need them. But where the fat ones at? I got something to feed them and some cooking books. The black kids never wanted to read them. Snap back, green chia fucking leaves. It's been a couple months and Tina still ain't perm her fucking weave. Damn. So I beat the Shay up with a stack of magazines I'm in. Oh, not again, another critic writing report. I'm stabbing any blogging faggot hipster with a pitchfork. Still suicidal I am. I'm Wolf. Tyler put this fucking knife in my hand. I'm Wolf. Ace gon' put that fucking hole in my head. And I'm Wolf. That was me who shoved the cock in your bitch. What the fuck? Fuck the fame and all the hype, G. I just wanna know if my father would ever like me. But I don't give a fuck, so he's probably just like me. A motherfucking goblin.
Fuck everything, man.
That's what my conscience said. Then it bunny hopped off my shoulder. Now my conscience dead. Now the only guidance that I had is splattered on cement. Actions speak louder than words. Let me try this shit. Dead.
Let's play a Bridget and the Squares song. It's Kyle's band. He's drummer and he sings sometimes and guitar too. And they just put out a new album that you can find. It's like two albums and it's really good. And that is, that guy's a cool dude. He had the morning after my famous final appearance on Keith and the Girl where, I was all just drunk and it was horrible and just blah. But then afterward we went to a little diner and got some sandwiches and then he crashed out on the couch at Keith and Emda's studio. And then the next day, I don't know, whenever we woke up, noon or something, we just went to Starbucks and just hung out there for a bit, got some drinks. He told me about his crazy ass fucking bike delivery guy life where he's hardly ever home. He shares a room with like two people, so his rent is super cheap for New York. He lives in this place with like 10 people, I think, and then there's like three people in his room alone. But he's thinking, he probably has by now, he's saying he was going to move out of there because he's hardly ever there and he's just always out all the time. He stays at his girlfriend's place, or like he doesn't have a computer even, he just has his phone that has a Facebook app. And he uses it to keep in touch with what people are doing, and then he just does stuff. He does real stuff, actual stuff, in real life. And I don't know, he's just a really cool dude. So this is his band. And this is a song called The Animal that's pretty crazy. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And things flew out of my backpack and smashed on the ground, and I just looked and I just stared.
There's a song, I don't know how I even came across this. It's the Taylor Swift song from The Hunger Games. I thought the movie was all right, and then I read the book, and I liked it a lot, too. But then I read the second book, and that one I got halfway through, and just didn't... by read, I mean listen to the audiobook while I biked around. Didn't grab me as much, but I was surprised by The Hunger Games. It's a lot harsher than I expected, that first one. The book had that thing kids' books have that grown-up books don't, where every chapter ends with, like, something crazy, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I have to read the next chapter. It's like, I think that takes a lot of skill that I don't think I have. You can get away with a lot more for grown-up writing. It's just fucking meandering, and all that's what real life's like. But yeah, Taylor Swift did this song that it's like, I guess her shtick is that she's kind of just pop music that's twinged with country. And this is, since it's like a quieter song, it's like Nickel Creek. It's like fucking, you know, it's like bluegrassy type music. It's real good. I really like this song a lot. And I'm not above fucking pop music at all. I'm looking at just my little list of shit to go through here. I got Linkin Park in here. I got fucking, you know, the aforementioned Go-Go's of a different era, of course. But yeah, I mean, I don't care at all about listening to music that people say you shouldn't listen to. Like, if I like it, that's good. I'll listen to it. And I was like, cool, maybe Taylor Swift's awesome. Maybe this is a new thing for me to get into, but I didn't like her other songs as much. I like that those little touches of country. You know, too much country, it's tough to swallow, but little bits, it's nice. But this song is real good. Featuring someone. Featuring the Civil Wars. Maybe I should look those guys up. Maybe they're the ones that make this song cool. So this is Safe and Sound by Taylor Swift.
I remember you said, don't leave me.
just did a real quick little listen, and it seems like the Civil Wars might be, there might be some meat on those bones. Check back in future installments, but yeah, they seem like they might be pretty cool. So I think I'm just gonna play some songs quick, just burn through some songs that I've been listening to. This is ELP, famous white rapper guy. I don't really know very much about him. There's this song Flyntology he did with Trent Reznor that I keep coming back to. And just, it's real good. And every time it comes back into my little rotation, I'm like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, man, this song's fucking good. I forgot about how good that song is. And then just to save me recording another intro right after that, directly after that, we're going to go into Cap Diamant by Kel the Pirat. It's a chick from Quebec. Me and Brad took me to see her live, actually. And I don't really know her stuff all that well. She's got a song called Corbeau that I played before that's real good. So I like this a lot, too. Cap Diamant. Cap Diamant. I'm like fucking talking like how English people pronounce French. Yeah, it's her performing it live. It's real cool. Let's play that.
Yeah. Bonjour, c'est Cœur de Pirate et vous écoutez la chanson Cap Diamant sur Relief. Je sais qu'on a tant de choses à se dire, et tes histoires seront bientôt usées. Partout se fatigue, lutte contre la fatigue, des jours à la mer qu'on veut oublier. Et voilà que tu ne peux plus chanter. Je crois bien que je suis seule à t'aimer. Tes lèvres brûlent tant de mille mensonges que tu ne prends plus la peine de raconter. Et tu m'as volé ce qu'il reste de l'été, des berceuses que tu chantais pour me calmer. Ne me laisse plus ici, ne me laisse plus cette fois, même si je ne suis rien pour toi. Même si je ne suis rien pour toi. Je me rappelle des secrets en cavale, laissés en murmure au creux de mes bras, que je porterai si lourd de tourments. Je t'entends encore crier doucement. Pourquoi voulais-tu encore donc de moi, alors que je quittais toutes ces pensées? Tu ne me voulais que pour ces quelques mois, pour t'aider toujours à mieux l'oublier. Et tu m'as volé ce qu'il reste de l'été, des berceuses que tu chantais pour me calmer. Ne me laisse plus ici, ne me laisse plus cette fois, même si je ne suis rien pour toi. Même si je ne suis rien pour toi. Même si je ne suis rien pour toi.
Let's just finish off with some Fiona Apple. Fiona Apple put out a new album, and as I mentioned in that podcast I did all about Fiona Apple, I've always loved Fiona Apple. Again, I don't know, I guess this comes back to that shit I was saying at the start of, like, you know, there's the cute version of losing your fucking mind that I think it seems like that's more attributed to women. It's like, you know, she's kooky, whatever. And, yeah, I don't know, the more interviews and stuff I hear with Fiona Apple, it's like, it's reductive to just when people just are like, ah, she's nuts, but there's definitely bizarreness to the way her mind works. And I don't know, it's like, I don't want to just be like, it sounds so I can't think of words today, like disingenuous, I guess, for me to talk about having any like mental issues, because I clearly don't really. I mean, I'm generally just a normal person, and I mean, compared to like somebody like my brother who's just like schizophrenic and just fucking out there, like I don't have any problems like that. I mean, I think a lot of these problems could just be alternately fucking attributed to just being spoiled and shitty. But if there is anything in my head that isn't fucking connecting properly, it seems like it's gotta line up. It's gotta line up somehow with Fiona Apple, because it's just, it can't be coincidence how much I seem to relate to her through all these years, through, you know, decades. A decade and a half? Yeah, it's been a while. And every time, like when I did my show about Fiona Apple, I hadn't really listened to her third album that much yet, but then I spent like the whole time since then just listening to it like crazy. And then this fourth one, yeah, when I was in New York and just like, just, you know, it's like being underwater and your diving bell or whatever, your suit just can't take the pressure anymore and just collapses. The day before I told Keith and Hemda I was leaving, like, I just got out of there, man. I just set up cameras and I just left. I just left for the whole day. I just couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't deal with anybody. And, like, I guess that's, like, that's... it's a weird reality to face up to, you know? It's just... to just stall, to just run out of whatever it takes to keep going down a certain path, just out of gas. And for it not to be like an affectation, you know, it's not just, in that case, it wasn't just like being spoiled or being selfish. It was just, I just can't do it. I just don't have this in me. Where it hits that point where it doesn't matter what the consequences are. It doesn't matter at all. It's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you guys are mad at me. It doesn't matter if... this means there will be no more collaborating. Like, it just doesn't matter. I just can't do this. So, yeah, I was sitting in the same Starbucks I went to with Kyle. And I was listening to this album, and it's just real good. It's just real good. I'm going to play 3 songs off it to finish it off. The first one is Every Single Night. About fighting her own brain. And then there's this song Jonathan that's about, she dated Jonathan Ames. He was like, I only know him because he had that show Bored to Death. I guess he's a writer or something. It's about them dating, but just from that one, really, it's just, I like the tone of it, but just the line, just, I don't want to talk about anything. Like, man. Couldn't say a more perfect thing at that fucking moment. And then I'll finish with Werewolf. It's a song that seems like people are blabbing about a little bit. It's like the little line from that is, there's nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. And it's like, yeah, you know, sure, I've had a lot of relationships in my life that have ended on a down note. Me and my brother, me and school in general, me and every girl I've dated. It's like, oh, well, whatever. It's not really that big a deal, man. It's just, not everything can end in a positive. Probably most things don't. I mean, why the fuck else did they end? So, yeah, it's a really good album. It's called The Idler Wheel. I recommend it. All right, that's enough of that. Get that out of the way. I got a plan to do some episodes about KMFDM, so those are going to be pretty much just music. But I got to get this little road bump out of the way. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Tugging on your forest chest. I don't wanna talk about done anything and anyone you've done has gotta be alright with me. If she's part of the reason you are how you are, she's alright with me. Just tolerate my little fist tugging on your forest chest. I don't wanna talk about, I don't wanna talk about anything. I don't wanna talk about, I don't wanna talk about anything. You like the captain, a capsized ship, but I like watching you live.
I could liken you to a werewolf the way you left me for dead, but I admit that I provided a full moon. And I could liken you to a shark the way you bit off my head, but then again I was waving around a bleeding open wound. But you were such a super guy till the second you get a whiff of me. We're like a wishing well and a bolt of electricity, but we can still support each other. All we gotta do is avoid each other. Nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. Nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. You made an island of me.
chemical, to inevitable. You and me wouldn't mix, and I could liken you to a lot of things, but I always come around, 'cause in the end I'm a sensible girl. I know the fiction of the fix, but you are such a super guy. Till the second you get away from me, we are like a wishing world and a bolt of